is Jason Hensley with the Magnify Him Together podcast, and we are going to consider today the question of who crucified Jesus. What would you say if somebody asked you that? Somebody walked up to you and said, "Who crucified Jesus? Who is responsible for Jesus' death?" What would your answer be? You know, I think most Christians, if you came to them and you asked that question, "Who crucified Jesus?" I think most Christians would probably immediately say, well, it was the Jews. You know, they would say it was the Jews who arrested Jesus, it was the Jews who tried him, and it was the Jews who delivered him over to Pilate, and even when Pilate wanted to set him free, it was the Jews who said, "No, crucify him." And according to the gospel records, that's true. That is what happened. And yet, the problem is that so many people are missing the other part of the story. So here's the next question. Did the Jews crucify Jesus? Did they crucify him, literally? Was it Jewish people who took the Lord Jesus and put him on the cross? And I think the answer to that has to be no. Crucifixion was not and has never been a Jewish method of execution. Crucifixion was a Roman method. It was designed for insurrectionists. And that was specifically what happened to people that the Roman government saw as people leading rebellions. And so when you ask, well, who's responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus? The question is a little more complicated, I think, than most people like to make it. You know, they'll say, oh, well, it was the Jews. Okay, sure. The Gospels very clearly show that Jews were participating in the crucifixion. But at the same time, who actually put him there? And I think the answer has to be the Romans. So you have Jews involved in the crucifixion, you have Romans involved. And in fact, on top of that, you know what's fascinating when you go through the Gospels is that it isn't just the Jewish leaders, their followers, Pilate and his soldiers, it's not just them who are placed in a negative light in regard to the crucifixion. You know, the Lord Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, "All of you will forsake me." And wasn't it one of Jesus' disciples, Judas, who betrayed him? And so when you consider the way that the Gospels present the crucifixion, it's fascinating that yes, the Jewish rulers arrest the Lord Jesus. They take him. They try him, they bring him to Pilate, Pilate tries to free him, and the chief priests and the elders inspire the crowd to say that they want him crucified. Pilate's soldiers, by Pilate's orders, crucify him. And at the same time, Jesus' disciples forsake him. Do you see what this is saying? When you ask the question of who's responsible for Jesus' crucifixion, it's interesting that the question is much more complex than we might initially think it is. It isn't just, oh, well, this group of people is responsible, but in fact, what Scripture seems to be indicating is that it's not just one group. And then instead, everyone is. Everyone is responsible. There were Jews who were involved. There were Gentiles who were involved. And even those who were Jesus' followers betrayed him. In other words, no one can come out of the crucifixion, aside from the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father, no one can come out of the crucifixion looking good, saying, oh, well, at least I did the right thing. I think you see this when you go through Acts. In the first chapter of Acts, Peter is talking about Judas, and he describes him as the one who betrayed Jesus. And so you have that aspect of Jesus' followers who forsook him, who betrayed him. In Acts chapter 2 and chapter 3, the apostles discuss how the Jews crucified Jesus. And yet, I want to read to you what they say in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, the apostles pray a prayer. This is Acts chapter 4, verse 24. It says, "And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, 'Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, ready? Listen to this carefully. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Did you hear that? The apostles said here that it was everybody. They didn't just say it was Pilate and Herod. They didn't just say it was the chief priests and the elders, but they said it was peoples and the peoples of Israel. So what you have here is you have essentially the blaming of the death on Jesus on everyone. Now here's why that matters so much. For centuries, Christians have looked at Jews and they've said, you're the ones who crucified Jesus. And many Christians have done terrible things to Jews because of that. But I want to suggest to you that scripturally, based on what we read in the New Testament, people who ask who is responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus are actually asking the wrong question. Because what the New Testament says is the answer to that question is you. Not some other person. Not the other people around you, not some other group of people, but you. And so you aren't supposed to ask who's responsible for the death of Jesus, but the question you're supposed to ask is, what does the death of Jesus mean to me? Jesus' death, his death for you, is meant to be what moves you, is meant to be what motivates you and changes you when you realize how much he loved you. In Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul wrote this. Galatians 2 verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how we should be thinking. When we stand out there trying to blame people for different things, we miss the entire point. The point is that he loved you and gave himself for you. And that if we understand that, then we should say, along with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. And then logically following from that, if we are crucified with Christ, if we've crucified the old man, then how do we live now? Because of the death of Jesus. And so let's not forget about it. Let's not just let it become a common thing. Something that we know, oh, Jesus died for me. Wow, that's amazing. But it should be, Jesus died for me. And that makes me a totally different person. And then I ask myself every day, Jesus died for me. He gave his life for me. How's that going to affect my actions today? How's that going to change my reaction when somebody comes to me today and says something offensive? How's that going to change my reaction when I feel sad? When I'm frustrated? How's it going to change the way I interact with my children? With my parents? With my spouse? Jesus died for the world. But he died for me. and he died for you. And that needs to change us. So let's start asking ourselves that question. How is the love of Jesus, as demonstrated in his death, how will that change me today? How will it change me tomorrow? How will it change me when things are really hard? It isn't about who killed Jesus, because he died for us. And so let's take that recognition and let's make that real. Living each day knowing that someone loved us enough to give up everything. And that sacrifice has to change us. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time on the Magnify Him Together podcast.